The job of the blender is to combine these elements in such a way as to produce an overall flavour.
A wider repertoire of different beverages than ever before.
I think one of the most interesting breweries, and certainly one of the most interesting origin stories for a brewery in Australia.
Single malts, blends, grain whiskies, bourbons and more.
If you want mezcal to be sold around the world, then unfortunately you're going to have to make a compromise.
This is the Drinks Adventures podcast. I'm James Atkinson, and this is the show where I speak to some of the world's most exciting producers of beer, wine and spirits and uncover trends and issues in the drinks industry today. We've heard a lot on the Drinks Adventures podcast about how there's a shake-up coming for Australian whiskey as larger players enter the market with products designed to compete on price with some of the big international brands. But of course, there will always be a place for smaller artisan distillers like Highwayman Whiskey, the Byron Bay company that released its first spirit in 2020. Highwayman was founded by Dan Woolley, a longtime whiskey industry professional. Most recently, he was ambassador for the Beam Suntory portfolio of brands, which gave him a backstage pass to globally renowned distilleries throughout Scotland, Kentucky, and Japan. Dan started to lay down his own spirit in his chosen casks back home in Australia, starting in 2016. And the first Highwayman bottlings, launched last year, sold out in minutes. Whiskey is a hugely capital-intensive spirit to make, so I asked Dan how he went about establishing his own brand, despite having very limited resources at his disposal.
I don't know if anybody has actually ever done it the way that I've done it before, not just in Australia, but anywhere around the world, because I've managed to slowly over the first few years put down a few barrels here and a few barrels there and let it mature. And then when it comes to maturation, bottle it and stash it away. So that by the time I launched the brand in 2020, I had enough for about 250 bottles at that stage to launch with, and then that money was reinvested directly straight back into the brand and supported myself for the first sort of 12 to 18 months. And most people that set up either an independent bottling, well, I suppose independent bottling is very different to a distillery itself. Now, don't classify myself to be so much as an independent bottler, and I don't classify myself to be a distillery either. I'm a whiskey maker, and I've been given that opportunity and grabbed it and ran as fast as I could with it by the Restall family, who own Lord Byron Distillery, which is primarily a rum distillery. They produce some incredible rum. And they have quite a great operation in Byron Bay. And they produce rum from Monday to Friday. And then on Saturday, I have my mash tun, my big 1,650-litre copper pot still, and my fermenters. And then the one day of the week on the Saturday, we produce whiskey. So I've had the opportunity to create a brand without actually having to invest $3-5 million into a distillery to create a brand and develop it from there. So I'm very, very lucky and extremely grateful for the opportunity that I've had.
It sounds like you've got your own equipment there, though. So you're not actually using their equipment. It's more that you're using a space within their distillery and I assume their production license as well.
Correct. They do a lot of the hard work for me. Most of the production when it comes to the spirit, I choose obviously the type of barley, I choose the waters and, you know, go through on there as the mashing and the fermenting. And then once the distilling is done, I'm the actual one that does the spirit hard cut on the spirit itself. But they do all of the hard slog for me. So it's a really great working relationship that we have. I have a lot of time and a lot of respect for Brian and his family and for what they do, and I'm sure they'd probably say the same thing about me. And we've just had a great working relationship together, a really, really great partnership. Probably more than anything, it would be a partnership for the last 3 years now. We started in 2018. And now I have just got to the stage where I am nearly finished building and setting up my cellar door, which is directly next door to production. So there's a big warehouse complex. There's 12 separate warehouses in the complex. And I have the warehouse directly next door to where production is. So it's really exciting future ahead for everyone.
Take me back to when you launched your first whiskey last year. I'm imagining from what you've told me, you kind of were putting those bottles aside, and it was a bit of a nest egg to kind of get you started. But it must have felt like a pretty big leap of faith. There must have been a part of you thinking, shit, I hope I'm able to sell this stuff.
Yeah, I can be 100% honest with you and tell you that there were quite a few sleepless nights. I was fairly confident that, you know, the whiskey, with my experience and my palate, I knew that it was fantastic whiskey, but I was taking a big leap of faith because nobody out there had ever tasted it. So they might believe that I have a good palate, believe that it's good whiskey. There are a lot of people that won't buy whiskey without tasting it. So I was taking a big leap of faith and thinking, Jesus, I hope these people jump on board. And it sold out so quickly. I did manage to crash the website multiple times and melted the internet upon every release. And yeah, it's just been so encouraging and so wonderful to see how people have jumped on board, not only with the first 10 batches of independent bottled stuff, but with my own stuff as well. And again, that leap of faith to have people jump on board and support me and what I'm doing in regards to the whiskey that I'm now making myself and bottling myself from barley all the way through to bottle, as opposed to independently bottling a spirit, which I've either helped to make or specified the technical layout of it. It's been very, very rewarding and really humbling to see people jump on board and support what I'm doing.
There's been a lot kind of said about Australian whiskey over the last few years, and some pretty high-profile entrants in the last 12 months coming in with much bigger volumes, much more competitive price points. Do you see Highwayman kind of staying as a niche distillery making, premium product that is a much higher price point? Do you kind of see that that's sustainable moving forward in this kind of new phase for the industry?
Yeah, I do. I do, 100% I do. I'm more than confident that what I'm doing and the tiny volumes that I'm doing with Highwayman, it will very much stay exactly where it is, being a premium product, being either single cask or micro batch release that is released at cask strength, as pure as pure can get with the whiskey. It comes straight from the barrel and it virtually goes straight into the bottle. So there is a really good opportunity for me to cement that product and in that niche market, because I look around and I see so many different brands coming out and so many different new brands coming on the market. There are a lot of Tasmanian brands that are starting to pop on the market for, $250, $300, $350, $400. First releases are $500 or $600. Some of the very well-established Tasmanian brands are releasing bottles on a what seems to be almost weekly, if not fortnightly, basis that are apparently small batch release, and they're $1,000 or $1,200 a bottle. And that, when I see that, I think, Highwayman is such a tiny volume. Currently at the moment, I am producing around about 2,500 litres a year. So it is absolutely nothing compared to, someone in Scotland. It's not that they would spill more on the ground than I produce in an entire year. And even if you look at, some of the big players, the Larks And if you look at Archie Rose, which is even a lot bigger again, 2,500 litres is absolutely nothing. Each time they release whiskey, it's well more than that. And they have multiple releases per year. So it's very, very minute what I'm doing. I have found a niche, and I will continue to carve a really nice solid place for that niche. Having said that, I am currently working on two other brands that will be a lower ABV, 700ml bottle, lower ABV and lower price point. So they will be a little bit more of a volume play, but they'll never take away the glowing light of Highwaymen. They will kind of be connected to Highwaymen, but it'll be there'll be different brands that will stand on their own two feet.
What sort of price point will you be trying to hit with those?
I would say they'll definitely be under $200 for a 700ml bottle. There is a chance, I haven't really finished doing all the costings, but there is a good chance that it'll be under that. It may even be $179 for a 700ml bottle, which for Australian whiskey is still, you know, fairly well priced. Having said that, a lot of people will look at it and go, well, it's still very expensive. If you know the whiskey, if you know Australian whiskey, if you know the cost of actually making something, as I've mentioned earlier, I don't own my own distillery. So for me to produce something, it is a lot more expensive than somebody that does own their own distillery. It costs me roughly twice as much to produce the raw spirit than it would for somebody that owns their own distillery.
When you say that, I mean, you said you've got your own still. You've got to pay Lord Byron to use some of their facilities, I'm assuming.
Correct. So it's basically, under the eyes of the law, it would almost be considered contract distilling. But it's actually using my equipment and me being hands-on as well. It gives me the advantage that I don't have to spend, as I said before, $3, $4, or $5 million setting up my own distillery. And I also don't have huge overheads of rent and bills and wages and all these other things that it takes to set up, operate and run a distillery. So even though it costs me more to make it, I don't need the capital to start the business in the first place.
Those other products that are down the line, I assume they'll be single malts. How will you be making them less expensive to produce?
They will be single malt. There will be a peated single malt and there will be an unpeated single malt. The actual liquid itself will not be produced on site. It will be aged and bottled on site, and it will be bringing the cost of production down dramatically, and I'll be passing that saving on to the customer. And hopefully, you know, if we can get the rebate coming, which starts as of, you know, the last couple of weeks it's come in, up until the end of the 2021-2022 financial year, and I'm not paying the duty on it because I'll get the refund, the rebate from that. Hopefully it'll bring the cost of the bottle down. I'd love to be able to produce a 700ml bottle for $149. For me, that would be incredible. And I might be able to do it, but I just don't want to commit to saying that was definitely what I said and that's what I'm going to do until it's all costed out and we're all ready to go.
You mentioned that you do have your own brew house there. Was that something that was important to you, making your own wash?
Very important to me. I wanted to make sure that we were painting the entire picture from day one, that we were milling, mashing, fermenting and distilling, as well as aging and bottling all ourselves. We looked at doing bits and pieces at different breweries, and I wanted 100% control. I wanted 100% consistency, and I wanted us to be able to create the flavour ourselves on site. I definitely wanted it to be something that is done in-house for us. For the Highwayman single malt bottlings that aren't independent bottlings anyway, that's what I wanted. I wanted to make sure that, you know, if I was going to do something that wasn't made on site, it would be, for me, it would be more of an independent bottling, which I've done, you know, 10 batches, more than 10 batches before, and I will be doing a couple of different brands in the future. But if I'm doing 100% Highwayman single malt whiskey, I want it to be 100% Highwayman single malt whiskey. I want us to be in control of all of it.
You would obviously have a tremendous amount of influences to draw upon when you were deciding what was going to be the Highwayman whiskey style. You know, you're very close to Laphroaig, for example. I know you're a big fan of Japanese whiskey. You spent a lot of time over there. You're probably pretty close to the American whiskey scene too. Drawing upon all of that, what were you sort of looking to make as the Highwayman style, or were you more kind of just wanting every batch to be a different beast?
Very good question. And it's actually something that no one in every interview and every article that I've done so far for the brand, no one has actually asked me. And it has taken me a long time to formulate a theory basically, in my head more than anything else, a direction that I want to take the brand. And it's basically divided into two parts. The unpeated releases are all more cask-driven flavours. So when I look at what I love to drink as an unpeated whiskey, I love Glendronic single casks, Glendronic 18. I love the older, very sherry, heavy sherry style Macallans, Aberlour, Abuna. All of these really, really big cask-driven whiskies. So when it comes to my unpeated, I will always make a very cask-driven flavour. When it comes to my peated style, I will have a more spirit-forward style. So it will be much more peat, intense, driving component with a little bit of the cask flavour to help balance it. A few people tried my first 100% Byron Bay, the first single cask release, which was a single Pedro Jimenez sherry style. And they said that it was a little disappointing for them because they wanted to get more of the distillery style character coming through. For me, I like to make whiskey that I like to drink. And that particular whiskey, I really wanted to release as almost, like you said, a little bit of the Japanese style, so like a Yamazaki sherry cask style, and also a Glendronic single Pedro Jimenez sherry style, also an Aberlour Abuna style, like a really big, heavy, hitting sherry style. Having said that, the next release that I have coming up, which I just wrote the tasting notes for this morning, is my next single cask release, and that's an Oloroso sherry. It's 100-litre Spanish oak X Oloroso sherry, and it is less cask-driven than the Pedro Jimenez. So there is a really nice balance between the spirit and the cask. And, yeah, that's basically how I'm looking at creating flavours for Highwayman. A good way to think about it, and to sum it up, all of my non-peated is more cask heavy, and all of my peated is more spirit heavy. I really like to keep everyone on their toes. I like to, you know, throw a few whiskies in here and there and really surprise people and turn heads. And that's exactly what the brand Highwayman and what I will be doing in the world of whiskey for the next few decades to come.
Now, it's obviously a very different sort of environment that you're maturing whiskey in up there to that of, Tassie or Scotland or even Sydney. What sort of adjustments have you had to make to sort of account for that?
It has been a very interesting journey. The only way to stay on top of it is to constantly monitor by continual nosing and tasting of casks to make sure that nothing is getting over-oaked. I do believe that the 20-litre and 30-litre casks are going to play an integral role in Highwayman's development and future. Not that I will be filling and releasing many of those by themselves, but almost a good way to think about it is the small 20-litre casks, I use these as concentrate. And if I look at a 100-litre cask and I believe that it needs more depth, more complexity, it's lacking in any kind of way, I will add a couple of litres of this concentrate from a 20-litre cask into a 100-litre cask to build the level of depth and complexity there. I don't know if there is anyone else that does their whisky like that. I don't know if there is anyone else that creates their particular style where they use the small 20-litre casks as concentrated, intense flavours to basically build up some of the other casks that may be lacking in structure. So it is something that it's very, very exciting. And the fact that I have all of these different casks it's a really fun journey, and to have everyone on the journey with me is just amazing. I don't think it'll ever change. I don't think I'll ever find an exact formula to what I will stick to and say, bang, this is Highwayman, this is exactly how it's made, and that's how it's going to be made forever. It's constantly evolving, it's constantly changing, and I personally like to believe, more than anything, the most important thing, it's constantly improving.
So tell us about the new cellar door. When's that opening? Are you expecting quite a lot of interest from tourists and locals alike?
Well, I don't know if you know much about Byron Bay, but it's bloody busy. There's apparently 2.5 million visitors a year, which is astronomical. It is actually mental when you think about the fact that that equates to over 50,000 visitors a week. Obviously, there are fluctuations such as Christmas holidays and Blues Fest, different music festivals. What I'm looking at is hopefully in round about a month, maybe mid to late August, opening the doors, but it all depends on how the COVID lockdown goes. If lockdown continues, I will push it back. I'm under absolutely no financial strain or stress to open the doors because, 95% of what I sell all goes through the website. So it's not a matter of I have to open the doors. I don't have any financial strain making me do so. But what I really wanted to do was have a home for Highwayman, for people that come to Byron Bay and they love their whiskey. So I have built Highwayman headquarters, or as some people have already started to call it, Highwayman HQ. It is not open to the public, so it is by appointment only. And what you have to do is basically jump onto the website, have a little look-see at what day, what time you can book in. And you can book in a masterclass, sit down and taste three whiskies and a new make. And from there, you'll have a whole bunch of options to bolt on from the masterclass, including a cheese board, including a cured meat board, including a bottle your own 200ml bottle from the barrel after the actual masterclass. And then there's also the shop inside the headquarters, which has got bottles and lots of different merch for sale. So it will be quite cool in the way that you can't just walk in off the street and buy a bottle. You can't walk in off the street and have a little look. You need to actually book and pay in advance. And for me, the most important thing for that is I don't have time and won't put up with tie kickers. If you're a serious whiskey lover, you book, you pay, you're in there, and I have all the time in the world for you. Highwayman is, it's a one-man operation. It's me. So I'm not going to sit there by myself all day, every day, on the hope that maybe someone might walk in the door. And I'm also not prepared to, and financially not in the position to be able to pay someone to do that. So this way, it gives me the advantage. If you book and pay for your masterclass in advance, I know exactly how many are coming, what time you're coming, what day you're coming. I'm all set up, ready to go. Come in, I can take the best care of you. And then you're out the door, I clean up, lock it down, and good to go for the next day.
Sounds like a good model. And I think you were just hinting at this in what you just said, but I have seen on Facebook, you know, you've had to manage some people's expectations when they question why the, you know, the order they've put in 24 hours ago hasn't turned up in time, or you know, maybe had a whinge about the price or whatever it is. People probably don't quite understand the scale
that you're working on.
It's quite bizarre until somebody's actually with me in the actual production room. You know, I've got a lot of friends that come up and help me to fill barrels, to tip barrels, to bottle, to label, et cetera, et cetera. And until you're actually doing it, you have absolutely no idea how much work goes into it. And it's, I'm just one guy, one man operation. I have a couple of friends helping me here and there. There's nobody on the pay on the payroll. It's me. That's it. No one else. And you know, for people to whinge and whine about, say, for example, the price of it, it's pretty simple. If you can't afford it or you don't want to buy a bottle, just don't. I'm not forcing it on anyone. I'm not pushing it on anyone. Is it too expensive? No. No way known to man that it is too expensive. I'll put any of my whiskies up against whiskies that are two, three, even four times the price of what I charge. And I'll just go back to some of these other whiskies. If you look at some of these recent Tasmanian releases, $1,000, $1,200, et cetera, et cetera, $2,000 and so on and so on and so on. Mate, for my standard releases are $249. My single cask releases are $299. And that is about as good as you're going to get. It is very, very well priced. And if you don't want to buy it, you think it's too expensive, you want to buy something else, or you're questioning whether it's worth it, every release that I've had so far sells out in minutes. So is it too expensive? If it was too expensive, wouldn't it take a lot longer to sell out? Would it sell out at all? You know, they are... My first 100% Byron Bay release was also my first single cask release, and that sold out in 9 minutes at $300 a bottle.
You can't argue with that, can you?
No, I'm ecstatic. I'm so thankful and grateful for people spending their money on my whiskey and investing into my brand. It is really, really humbling to see, and I'm so grateful for it. But for the people that want to say that it's too expensive, no, it's not too expensive. And people that, this happens to me every time I release a batch, within 24 hours, sometimes less than 24 hours after I've released it, people are messaging me saying, I haven't heard anything, I haven't got my bottle yet, I haven't, I'm like, really, just...
I'm not Amazon.
I haven't. I am literally on my dining room table lining up bottles and wrapping them in bubble wrap, or, you know, boxing them and bagging them and printing out everything I do by myself. And every box I sticky tape up by myself and put the label on. And so just have a bit of patience, guys. It'll get to you. No doubt that it will get to you. It might take a week, but just have a bit of patience and it will be there soon. All good things take time.
Fantastic, Dan. Well, for people listening who might be thinking, you know, I'm pretty keen to get my hands on a bottle, what's the best way that they can be kept informed of your future releases?
If you jump onto social media, Highwayman Whiskey, one word for Facebook. Highwayman Whiskey, one word for Instagram. And the website is highwayman-whiskey.com. So it's really easy to follow. Just jump on to Facebook, jump onto Instagram, lots and lots of updates. I'm fairly focal on social media, so I give everyone at least a couple of weeks' notice before I launch a batch. Just be prepared to hit refresh a lot, and be prepared to see the internet melt in front of you. And hopefully we'll get to a stage where I'll be releasing something every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and there will actually be whiskies left over. If you really, really want a whiskey and you can't get one, come and see me at the cellar door. From now on, every batch that I release, I'll be holding back anywhere between 15 to 20 bottles to try and build up a little bit of stock in the cellar door. Hopefully I will have at least 30 to 50 bottles at any time in the cellar door. So you'll just have to come up to Byron Bay, mate, and I'd love to have you up here once the cellar door is open.
Mate, when I can leave my apartment, let alone a 5K radius, let alone Sydney, I'll very much look forward to doing that. And congratulations on what you've achieved so far with Highwayman Whiskey.
Thank you so much, mate. Look forward to seeing you soon.
The Drinks Adventures podcast is produced by me, James Atkinson, with additional production and mixing by Dave Robertson. You can find complete transcripts, links, and other information on the show at drinksadventures.com.au. You can follow me on all social media platforms at By James Atkinson, like my Facebook page, James Atkinson Drinks Adventures, to be kept informed of podcast giveaways and other news about the show. The Drinks Adventures podcast needs your support as listeners. Please do us a favour and leave an honest review and rating for the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. We love hearing your feedback, and it helps inform other people this is a show worth listening to. Or simply drop us a line at hello@drinksadventures.com.au.